It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Ezzy, are you ready? We don't care. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that records and airs every Thursday, and then on Friday is canceled, and then on the weekend is heavily retooled, and on Monday gets a new showrunner and a new name. On Tuesday, reverts back to the old name for brand recognition. Wednesday does dress rehearsal. And then Thursday is posted again as a mid-season replacement for the previous week's episode.
Yeah, my favorite part of the whole process is all of the websites that pop up demanding that we get, you know, put back, or that some other network picks us up. That's always nice.
I find it weird they don't just reuse the one from the previous week, but, you know.
That's, you know, we live in a disposable culture.
It is. At least redirect to the new, that means odd. Anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 247. Do you know what that means?
That sounds like a lot.
247?
What does that mean?
It means that next episode, we will be within the year countdown window for episode 300.
Ooh.
Because 300 will be December 8th, 2016.
God, you're a loser.
I just know these things.
Yeah, recent comments have been angry that we didn't do something exciting for 200, so we'll have to do something for 300, or else Mark will complain.
We've just got a few days over a year to figure it out.
All right, we'll figure that out. Yeah, a year and 3 days. Wow.
It'll sneak up on you.
To say the least. I'm still occasionally thinking it's 2014, so.
Yeah. 2015's almost done?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Never said I was smart, just pretty. I'll get it right by about January 6th.
Yeah.
Is what will happen.
That's right.
So, for us, it's been 2 weeks. For you guys, it's been one. Because of Thank-a-Misgiving and stuff like that. So, how was your 2 weeks and Thank-a-Misgiving?
Well, we ended up... The weather was a little bit iffy on Thanksgiving, so we didn't go to Des Moines, but... And we didn't get together like the weekend following either. It's just the whole thing just got canceled, which is too bad. But
your wife still would have had the days off.
Yes.
So did you guys do anything fun with that time, or just play a lot of Fallout 4?
Yeah, a lot of Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. A few other things, but mostly that. The game is. I don't know if I'd say it's. I don't know what to say about it.
People seem to be consuming the hell out of it, but also finding some issues with it, like that are unique compared to other Fallout games.
Well,
the big one seems to be all the crafting stuff is cool, but it seems to be nebulous and undirected enough that some people are finding it frustrating. They're like, I know this stuff ties in, but they aren't really explicating how. And
right. Well, what? I mean, up to now. We've been several hours into this game. I mean, a ridiculous number of hours, and we've probably only gone into the main plot like two or three steps.
Which, yeah, can totally happen with any Bethesda.
That's true, but not the way they're typically played in our house.
Oh, okay.
That's an unusual thing, and they're. It's not all a choice of the player, which is my wife. I mean, it's a choice, but it's not like a deliberate choice. It's hard to explain. There are things in the game that are seem like side things that you can do if you want to for fun or whatever. But they're very compelling, and they're very intense, like labor intensive, so to speak. Okay. So you can get caught up in these things and play for hours and hours and hours and forget even that there was anything else you were supposed to be thinking about.
Well, and that's how I play games too, so I'll probably run into that. I'm not quite as an obsessive a crafter as your wife, but I also have that thing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, but
and I always like to do, like, let me do the side stuff as soon as I can so that for the main stuff I will be stronger.
Sure, sure.
You know, that's always a thing.
Now, something about the plot that I won't reveal, but there's something about how the plot is introduced that I think was intended to be a remedy to this particular thing. Like they knew that people might get sucked into some of this side stuff and forget that there was a whole other real game here. And so they did something with how the plot's introduced that makes it seem especially urgent, more urgent than previous games.
Okay. But I'm assuming, again, like Bethesda games, it ultimately doesn't matter. So it's really urgent you get to Town X. But if you decide to sleep for 5 in-game days, you'll still get there at the same time.
That's right. But in other Bethesda games, like the one you were talking about, Oblivion, all of these Oblivion gates are opening up all over the place.
Yes.
But that doesn't even start in earnest until you go to a particular place and talk to somebody.
Well, and because especially with Oblivion, I looked up everything. Like, I spent hours building my character before I started the game.
Right,
I started character creation, even.
Okay.
And that was a thing. I found out that, like, certain steps in the plots affect when Oblivion gates show up, so I just avoided those plot bits.
So, in a way, your decision to not go to that place right away, even in the game, there's no real consequence to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So,
yes. So
you could almost justify in a role-playing sense the delay of your character getting to this place.
Absolutely, and totally could justify it in a strategic sense.
Right. So much in this game.
Interesting.
There's no way you could justify the game in any kind of role-playing sense it taking, and up to now, my wife's character has been in this world and doing stuff for, I think 4 or 5 months in world without addressing the main plot.
Yes, which is a significant plot.
There is no way that you can justify that with the character and the way the plot's set up. You could maybe in Oblivion and other games, because whatever the thing is you have to do, it's urgent, all right, but it's not
and
like...
you don't have a sense of scale
at
that point.
Yeah, exactly. But with this, the way the plot's set up, if you're going to role-play your character, there's almost one or two things that you have to do as soon as you're out into the world, and if you don't do them for 4 or 5 months, it makes no sense to the story at all.
I actually read an article of a guy talking about the things that he doesn't like so much in Fallout 4, for him personally. And one of them, I think, is tied up, I won't say it because it is minor spoilers, but basically about how the premise of the game is set up this time, which is different than others. And his big thing is that it prevents you, you don't have as much moral width as you did before, because certain things about the way it's set up kind of make you the good guy in a certain way, regardless.
Whereas before,
you could just really be a cold-hearted bastard.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can do that, but it feels weird in relation to the
plot. I'll agree with that, too. It would be very...
So I could see... I think I know what you're talking about.
Things are very much stacked in favor of you playing a good character, or just being a good
character. Whereas in the past, it was usually things like, oh, you have amnesia, or you're going to go looking for a thing, or a person, or
stuff. So. And so this... when we first started playing it, there was something already a little disappointing about the plot setup. We already didn't like it very much.
Yeah.
But then as gameplay continued, I noticed how problematic it was, even on its impact on the rest of the game. What this person pointed out is one of those things.
Yeah.
And now,
which is funny, because the author also says they always play good guys, and so the actual thing was they're like, I'm not going to play as a bastard, but I want the option to be there.
Well, it's more meaningful if you pick
bad guy.
If if your other option is equally compelling and equally available, it feels like you're actually making some kind of conscious choice to play good, but now you're not choosing to play good, you're just not choosing to play bad.
This is interesting. I should totally bring this up because it's very germane. So another thing about it that I don't think it was things he didn't like, it was harsh discoveries about himself by playing Fallout 4. And one was that. It's like, I don't want to be a bastard, but I want the option. But there was another one, and I believe the glib shorthand for it was, I wouldn't last a day as a woman. So he's playing the game, but his wife is not interested in the game. She's not interested in the games most of the time. But the one thing she likes is character creation, so he let her make the character. And she picked a woman, which she tends to do automatically when she plays game because it helps her in the immersion. She's a woman, and so she plays a woman. And he's like, I tend to play a man for the exact same reason. But this time she made a woman, so that's what I'm playing. And something about it, basically he doesn't, he can't cope with any sexism, like, really fast. He's like somebody calls me a bitch, and I've cut their head off. Just immediately.
He's like, how interesting.
And he's like, and it happens when you're a guy too. They call you all sorts of stupid names and shit like that. But to me, that was just sort of normal, whatever. But something about being a woman, he says something about, I think, stepping away from it because, like, again, it's not the same immersive thing because I'm playing a woman. Just makes me really intolerant of that shit. And I've screwed up a lot of quest lines because I just had to beat the fuck out of somebody for being
such an asshole. Very interesting. How very interesting.
Yeah.
And yet. That's an interesting thing about that is, of course, my wife likes to play women in video games, and that happens to her too, and it makes her mad. And sometimes she'll even indicate that she wants to cut a person's head off or whatever, but usually she'll just say that and she'll just go on with the quest. Like, as a woman, she's already learned in our culture that you can think it, you can wish it, but there might be bad consequences if you act it out. Apparently, even in a video game, because this guy's doing so, and he's experiencing bad consequences.
And it's harder now, because the old versions had a very simple setup. All the quest givers are unkillable in all the previous, Fallouts. So what you could do is, if you felt like it, you could just basically go in and slaughter an entire town, because then you wait 3 minutes, and the ones that actually matter for your quest stand back up. But it's different how it's set up here, so you can actually fuck yourself over and, like, lose a quest permanently. I think it started in New Vegas that way, I think he said.
Maybe.
So he's discovered that, too. He's like, I actually have to, I can't just shoot from the hip, so to speak.
One cool thing about the game that I like, I don't think it impresses my wife as much, is there are a lot of names programmed into it. So if you pick a name that's not too weird, you will be... characters will call you by this name.
I heard the whole fucking thing is voice acted, including you.
Yeah.
And I've heard that they do that same BioWare shit where it's now the wheel of choices, like in the Mass Effect games
that.
And consequently, sometimes you pick a choice, and what is actually said is quite different than what you chose. Seems quite different,
that's right.
If you pick, like, I don't agree with you, and what your character says is, you're full of shit!
Yeah. That's not what I meant to say. Yeah. You're kind of supposed to take cues from its position. And the button you push, like, X is always going to be a little snarky or whatever.
Okay.
But sometimes it just doesn't seem like that when you're looking at it. But when my wife created her character, she was trying to think of a name, because she never uses her own name. Nobody ever does that.
I have, like, stock fake names.
I told her, I said, since normal common names are in it, characters might actually call you by your real given name. So why don't you use that for the first time ever? And so she did. And I always think it's cool when someone in the game calls her by her given name. I thought, oh, that's really cool. She's not as impressed by it, but I think it's really neat.
I could see that being cool. What's fun, I've discovered from a long time ago, in games, and this is more common with the casual games, like ones I'll get on my tablet or whatever, but ones where you have a persona, but like if it's a first person, because I always talk about how I can't play first person. There's exceptions when it's like investigative games or whatever, where you're not really moving.
Yeah, right.
I can play those. But in so many of those games, the name, they're really gendered ambiguous. Like when you put in your name, there's no specification. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's because it will never come up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it will come up and they didn't warn you. And it's like, so my thing now is I just always put in Sam. And in my head, it's always a Samantha until it comes up. Otherwise, I'm like, oh, guess it's a Samuel this time. Because I always play females, too. I have, as long as I've been able to, that's what I play.
Well, the only time I ever was really excited about using a specific name in a game, it was...
Trucknuts. You called your character Trucknuts.
No, it was Dragon Age Inquisition. I thought, wow, maybe I'll actually play this game and I'll call myself Harold, because in the game
you're the Harold, yes.
Harold of Andraste, and how cool would it be every time someone said Harold of Andraste that it felt like they were saying my character's name. I never ended up playing it, but I thought that would be
I was
fun.
Gonna say, and you didn't play it, but you're right, I played it 5 times.
Yeah, and it was great,
which is why you didn't play it. You're like, the disc wore out before she gave me a chance.
So yeah, a lot of Fallout, and it's the new mechanic that's just so distracting from the rest of the game is very cool and fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be really overwhelming and you can wonder, how can you do this and the main quest both at the same time?
Yeah.
There's that problem. But and also, like you said, if some people are wondering, how does all this really relate or kind of how's it going to help down the road?
Yeah.
I don't think it does. There are a lot of people's play strategy with this game is
just to skip that stuff
at first.
Yeah.
And rather than doing what you do, which is level up and then do the main quest, well, do the main quest first and then do all this stuff later.
What I actually do is wait about a year to play the game and then look up online whether or not the shit is of significance and what it means, and then I can do it.
Yeah.
But
anyway, you should talk about your 2 weeks. I know it's getting time is moving.
I thought there was a thing I was going to say.
Oh, sorry.
I don't remember what it was now.
Sorry.
No, I got nothing. All right, let's see. I have a lot of things to say.
Yeah, Thanksgiving and everything.
I'm up to... I've watched 6 episodes of Twin Peaks.
Oh.
Still enjoying that. Oh, I'm really starting to hate specific characters. There's some really awful people on that show.
Okay.
And that gets weird. But it's still a fun show and just strange. Let's see. Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much happened. So Tuesday we actually gamed.
Oh.
But not for very long. And then Wednesday morning I was really sick.
Oh.
Again, with a fucking head cold. You know, like I've had like 12 times this year. I don't even understand that.
That's too bad.
And so I stayed home from work and I felt bad enough that I just stayed home because I didn't want to get other people sick, and perhaps more importantly, I knew I'd be sleeping a lot and the guest bed at my mother-in-law's house is not. So I was like, if I'm going to be in bed, I'd rather be in bed, in my own bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed here. And I didn't want to go. I said, like, if tomorrow I feel better or whatever, I'll just drive because we have a second car. But I didn't feel better until probably, like, Saturday evening.
Mm.
So I slept for 5 days, which I pretty much mean literally. I slept, like, 14 to 16 hours a day.
Wow.
For 5 days. First, because I was sick, and then eventually just because my body was used to it, and there was no reason I had to stop. So I just kept doing that. When I was awake, I didn't play a lot of video game. I played some Assassin's Creed, but not much. And I didn't do anything productive in terms of consuming media, like watch the stuff on the DVR or watch more Twin Peaks or anything like that. Because I was largely a zombie. And this is the thing. When you're sick and you don't want to do anything, you like watch TV or watch a movie. But it shouldn't be like ones you got to think about a lot and stuff like that. So I watched Amazon Instant Video for 5 days. Specifically, I watched 12 films, none of which were remotely what I would call good. 11 of which were horror films. One of which was a Hong Kong sex comedy that was funnier than I expected, but not very good. But the other 11 were low-budget horror movies. 3 of which were about a ghost hunter TV show type group
mm-hmm.
that was doing really poorly in the ratings, and their boss was threatening to cancel them. and they had one last attempt at a new location, and they went there, and there were ghosts and demons and shit, and most people got murdered and stuff like that. Like, that's apparently a subgenre now, because I watched three films where that's the plot.
Interesting.
Three different films. Oh, not on purpose. Like, I wasn't going for these. It just happened. It was amazing. And I watched... How do I put this? I watched a men's rights activist revenge film. That's the only way I can call it. It's a subversion of the usual trope in some ways. It's not. It's a slasher movie where a crazy guy kills a bunch of women. So, slasher movie. But here's the deal. At no point do you sympathize with the victims. It's built that way. Because here's what it is. Some pretty teenage girls who hang around and talk about how awesome it is to manipulate boys and get them to do what they want, especially online, because it's really easy, and they love that. And they get this idea that they'll find some random creeper dude online and make him really humiliate himself for them. So they do find this guy, and they make him do all sorts of things, some of which are painful, a lot of which are humiliating. And in exchange, they, you know, talk nice to him and occasionally send him pictures of parts of their body and stuff like that. And the whole thing's very domination submission. They're his queen and stuff like this. And some of them get really into it because they just love, like, they really get off on just manipulating and humiliating this guy. To the degree that two of them decide they're going to take it further. And they agree to meet up with him in person and then kill him. Which they do. But it doesn't take. They do it poorly. They think he's dead, but they leave and he's not dead. And it turns out he's a troubled mental patient, and he's been on medication, which made him very nice, but also very childlike. But now, since he almost got killed, he ran off into the woods, and so he's not on his meds, so now he's way smarter and psychotic. And so then the rest of the movie is him capturing and tormenting them in all sorts of really terrible ways. But at no point are they made to look at all sympathetic, to the degree that when a couple of them, like, have almost escaped, and then they find out that, like, they know where he is, and they can go, they get really excited that they're going to kill him again, because they're like, yeah, that bastard, let's go kill him, it'll be awesome, he's just a stupid jerk, we'll kill him. I'm like, so even after the torture, like, nobody's learned their lesson, they're just, women are terrible, and in a way, I mean, the movie does never go so far as to say, like, this guy is justified, but... Yeah, you have no sympathy for the victims at all. Just because they just are born to... The women just love to shit all over men, apparently. It gets them off. They think it's awesome. And so, of course, when you do that and then try and kill him, then he's going to torment you and torture you to death. I'm like, I can picture the fedora-wearing, chin-bearded asshole who wrote this screenplay. Like, it's just... Right, I'm not going to tell you guys the name because... I've actually had people ask me for the name. And I sort of get that in a looking at a train wreck kind of thing. But I'm like, I don't want this movie to get any more publicity. So, no. But it was awful. And, yeah, just lots of weird, pretty shitty horror movies. I did not rate any of them well. So that was those 5 days. Like, that's it. Like, it's just this haze of sleep, eat. Friday, I was well enough to go to Hy-Vee, and so I just bought all the comfort food I could think of. And so I pigged out without any Thanksgiving food, but then I would sleep and watch shitty movies. And then Trish brought me the bones and some meat from a standing rib roast my mother-in-law made. So Sunday night I just literally chewed on beef bones because I'm an animal. I really did. And then, the only other real thing is I've been looking at a new YouTube series. Because somebody sent it to me.
What series is that?
It's called Just Between Us.
Oh, man, you're watching it.
I'm watching all of it.
I've sent you stuff before, and you didn't even comment on it. And you're right. This is when you're actually...
Some of them, I may not have actually looked at it. But to be fair, you said, I hate myself, but I can't stop watching this. So I got intrigued right away. It's called Just Between Us.
Yeah.
It's been going on for a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just two friends. And you may see some parallels to certain podcast people. Possibly.
I wonder if they will. I mean,
Well, there's definitely overtones. In general terms, there. William and I see a lot more very sort of specific.
Yeah.
In some ways, we really... I mean, it is... I mean, they're women. They live in L.A. They're very clearly trying to sort of make it as a career kind of thing.
And
they're way younger than us.
And they're both very different than us.
Yes.
But something about how they relate to one another.
Yes.
And also... Yeah, there's just some stuff
just
there.
Just look at them. Just between us. and I just started at the beginning, and I'm going through everywhere. I'm about 11 months in now. I don't know how much you've watched, but I'm a handful of episodes past the Kiss episode.
I try not to watch it at all, but every once in a while, I'm
watching
like,
the shit out
you know,
of
my wife's going to come home, and I'm working on a project, but it's going to take an hour or so. It's like, well, I have 15 minutes. What am I going to do?
It is,
and then I'll start watching
their videos.
It.
Like,
for
I
sure.
mean, as with a lot of things like this, they're slowly getting longer as they go on. But even the longest ones are like 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
And they get a fair number of people. There was a hilarious one where they had Sam Levine on, but the whole thing was. The premise, the idea was that he ran the camera he'd been running the camera for like the months they'd been doing it. And he finally got sick of it and he came onto the couch and like bitched them out for how dumb they were. And
did you see the one where they switched places?
Not yet.
That's a good one.
Not yet.
That's a really
like I said,
good
I'm doing it in order so far. But and it is really fun because some of the stuff is clearly written.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff is clearly sort of improv jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff is purely accident. There's some stuff that you're like, that's just coming out of their mouth, and they're just realizing it at the time they're saying it. So there's a few moments where you're like, I don't think that was the show. I think that was a glimpse into their actual friendship
yeah.
for a second there.
Yeah.
It is hard to tell, because they both definitely are playing characters.
Mm.
But it's, well, it's like us. Their characters based on themselves.
And they're both pretty good at it, too.
Yeah, I mean, no, they're both fairly successful.
Although
I think they would do well.
Gabby and Allison...
yes.
Allison just
We're
totally
not
going to
tell you which is which.
Yeah.
For comparison.
Allison just
here.
Totally yeah, cracks me up every single time. I mean, Gabby's great, but I pretty
See,
much...
And I love Gabby. Allison is funny, but I love Gabby. Well, except honestly, I think you need both of them. I think
oh, no,
the,
that's
the
true.
Routine doesn't work.
That's absolutely true.
Allison has very, very much shades of Grace Helbig for me.
Oh, okay, sure.
But it's, I mean, the awkwardness is similar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not beyond that because she's, you know, very sort of conservative, uptight kind of vibe. Just different. Grace Helbig, innocent isn't the right word, but that's
no.
what I'm going to go for. Grace Helbig's character is not innocent like Allison's character is, but the sort of awkward, wanting to be liked vibe is very there.
But I think in one show, Gabby even, they're talking about the show, because sometimes that happens.
Yeah,
they talk about
yeah,
the
absolutely.
Show in their show. And Gabby said something like, the whole thing about us doing this, the whole point, the whole premise that makes it work is how different we are or whatever. And almost exactly what we've often said in what we do. So I thought, man, this is eerie. And when I sent it to you, I didn't tell you that I thought.
No, all you said was... I hate myself, but I can't stop watching this.
And then you watch it, and you said to me, wow, this seems almost like...
I was like, yeah, this... Well, actually, what I said first is we would have more success if we had boobs.
Yeah, you did say that.
Because that came up on the show. Some of the enticements to watch, though, like, we have boobs. For the record, there's no nudity. Like, that's not...
Yeah, they don't dress provocatively
that's the
or
joke,
anything.
There were a couple of times when they do... For a joke, but
oh,
it's come
I
up in a couple places.
But they have sketches too, which are
I
usually...
haven't gotten to yet. I see the pictures of them.
Okay.
I haven't gotten.
You haven't watched
that
any sketches
yet.
They're pretty good. They're all right.
Still, like I said, the most recent ones I watched were like 11 months ago. In fact, I just recently, in order, came to the video that is their front page video now.
Oh. Well, I think for the ones where they're answering questions or whatever, I think the editing's really good. I mean,
the editing. Is amazing.
Yeah.
Because if you stop and look at it, there are places where they clearly edited out a quarter of a second.
Yeah.
Which sounds really stupid, but it gives it the jump cut feel, which you need for certain jokes. Mm. But, like, I was watching a couple times, and I'm like, no, like, she's still taking the same breath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just know... to get the rhythm right.
Because, oh, yeah.
Especially in something like YouTube videos, that kind of cuts. It's a type, I mean, it's like a type of cut in like a film or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it frequently works to really punch a joke.
Yes.
And they do it. And they do it in places where I'm like, God, you just cut out a sliver just to get that effect.
But it's really well done. I mean,
no, because it'll always be after the fact. I'll be like, wait a second.
Yeah, yeah. It's really well done. I mean, there are a lot of times I'll watch a YouTube video that's supposed to be funny, and I'm thinking, you should have cut right there. That would have been a good place to put a nice cut, but you didn't cut there, or you cut, and then you had a long pause after it, so the cut was wasted.
Yeah.
But they really know, whoever's editing it really has a good sense of how to edit it.
They do clearly have a camera person, because the camera moves sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple times where like the camera actually shifted, and I was like, oh, wow, somebody's actually running this.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right, it is a relationship, because that's the thing. Like, well, I feel like a fair amount of it isn't scripted, if any.
Well, in some of the sketches, well, in a lot of different places, Allison, who seems to be the person who's really initiated the show,
I feel like, yeah,
she insists that it's scripted content. It's not a vlog or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like you, I think some of it is clearly scripted. Sometimes I think they might sit down with scripted content, then they'll shoot the show, and there'll be a lot of outtakes, and they'll decide the outtakes are better than the script, and they'll do that.
Premises.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. A lot of that show is not written out, but they have the story, and then they just do scenes and see what
happens. Well, and another aspect is also, like you were saying, even if they have a particular, the sketches are all scripted, obviously, but even if they have a certain letter answering segment where they improv the whole thing, they still do things in character.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That's another aspect.
But that's what I'm that's what I was going for here is that I think the reason the relationship matters so much is if I wrote it down and like other just had other people do it, some of the material's not that great. Some of the jokes are not that great.
Yeah.
But it's watching it in the perspective of these two their relationship. And so you're laughing at the characters. And sometimes the lines the characters say aren't that funny. But it's funny because you know them. Like, you know?
That's right.
Which is yet another reason why I do honestly recommend start from the beginning and go forward. Because, I mean, very first episode, plenty funny.
So, yeah, yeah, I agree. That's probably... But the thing is, for me, I don't even know which one I saw first. Oh, I know what it was. Gabby sometimes does things on other channels, and one of the things that she did was for D News.
Okay.
You know, they have...
I don't know them at all.
Well, Discovery News.
Oh, I thought it was just like D News.
No, D News. they have... they do what most people do in news segments on YouTube. You've got a person, usually a young person, and they're sort of the talking head for whatever the news thing is.
Yeah.
Well, she was one of those people once. And at the end, she got to plug this channel. I thought, okay, well, I mean, I didn't know.
What color was her hair at the time?
I think it was blonde.
Because it started blonde, and then she dyed it this really dark magenta purple, and I'm obsessed with that hair now. It's gorgeous color.
But blonde, I love it. And whenever DNews does that, I always check out that person's channel, but it's usually because it's a science thing or a news thing.
Yeah.
And this was not.
No.
But
not a lot of science and news coming out of this channel.
But I watched whatever it is I watched, and I thought, well, these guys are interesting, kind of funny, you know. And I just kept watching more and more, and then I got that feeling like, this seems really similar to what Tony and I do. Except, you know, young, modern women.
And on video. And
yeah. Yeah. And I liked Allison a lot. And again, I like Gabby too, but for some reason, Allison cracks me up.
A little bit like your wife. That could have something to do with it too.
I don't know. But, so yeah. I think this is the first time I've ever sent you anything that you actually, like, watched.
Well, no, I mean, I've watched them, but usually you send me individual things.
That's true.
Not a lot of, like, channels.
Yeah, that's true, that's true.
And some of them I straight up have never looked at, because it's just, it's, like, in there, and I get it at work, and I can't watch it at work. And so I'm like, all right, I'll remember, and then I totally forget. And other emails come in and stuff. But, yeah, no, this one, I was like, oh, what the hell? I think it was because in the morning before work, I have my routine of looking at certain websites and doing online chores after I eat my breakfast, basically. And then I do one of two things. I play a video game, or I watch YouTube. Usually, specifically, I'm catching up on whatever the Cracked videos were. Because the way it works out, they basically have a video a day, so there's usually one new one. Or if I skipped it the day before and played video games, then there's two. And this particular day, I just didn't feel like playing a video game, but I watched like the one Cracked video, and it was like 6 minutes, and I'm like, well, I got like 30 minutes before I got to get dressed. And I was like, William said something. Actually, I think in general, I was like, maybe I should start going through the William emails. Because you send a lot these days. Something snapped in you, and you send me a lot now.
Okay.
Well, and that's beside the you, me, Jazz, and Abby ones, which go crazy. Which now you got Jazz doing it too, and so now we're talking about papal Star Wars figures. Weird shit going on there.
Yeah.
I do love that the Japanese are finally getting into sci-fi. But so yeah, I think I was like, oh, let's go through the Williams one, and then I pulled that one up, and I was like, this because it is totally my kind of thing in terms of videos I would watch.
Okay.
It's very much
okay.
I mean, that kind of I see. I'm the guy who likes watching like the backstage stuff and things like that. So I like things that feel like people are hanging out and having fun, and it's amusing. Mm. Like, I love that kind of stuff, just of anything. And that's why I like British panel shows. I love that, because I'm like, it's sort of a game show, but nobody really cares, and they're just dicking around, and they're having fun. And I love that. That's why I like At Midnight, because it's the closest you can get to that. And this is very, has that vibe. I mean, there's a formula, but I mean, it's a similar formula here, but it's pretty much like us just digging around, you know?
Yeah.
Except they only do it for 2 minutes instead of an hour. Don't go to them instead of us because it's faster, please. And because it's visual and looks better. I'm going to be sad if we lose all 14 of our listeners to them. Because that's the thing. Like, there's a big a running gag, at least in the early part. It's Gabby's bi. And Gabby's very libertine in her sexual practices and Polly and all that stuff. And she totally wants to hook up with Allison. The character does, at least. Allison, straight, and has weird sexual hangups. So it doesn't happen, but there's a constant sort of joke going.
Yeah.
And at some point she says, if we get 5,000 subscribers, I will kiss Gabby on video. And just for fun, I scrolled down to see the channel thing, and it has like 504,000. And I'm like, well, apparently they got there. So, but my point is, 504,000 subscribers, they don't need you. We do. So, stay here. You can we don't have to be exclusive. You can also check them out. Just don't leave us.
Sure.
Ever. Please. I sounded a little more like Allison then. That was the... Did you ever see the one where she brings her best friend, who's a boy, over to do questions to? And the question is about whether or not men and women... Because in the beginning, the questions were fake. And they actually addressed that several times. And there was one about, can men and women just be friends?
I've seen the title.
It's because that, but not... the main joke of it is... He says, of course, because like nothing ever happened between us, and nothing ever will. But then he's kind of smitten with Gabby. And so at one point she's getting really mad about this. Or not Gabby, but Allison.
Yeah, Allison,
and she like sits in between. And Gabby basically says, well, you know, we're always open to the pot. And you can get that she's trying to sort of initiate a threesome. And then smash cut to the boy saying, I don't want her there when we have sex. God. And it's weird because at this point he's been like really friendly, but he's like clearly flirting with her. But then at points of very, he's like, I don't want her there when we have sex. And she's like, oh, okay. God. Yeah. So I like that one. I feel like there's more stuff that happened.
Yeah, probably.
But I don't think so because I slept for 5 days.
Yeah. But there's like 11 other days there.
Really?
Was it 2 weeks? Is 14 days, right?
Oh, wait. I was going to make a joke at how I was bad at math, and I found this all enlightening, and then I just realized you're bad at math.
Five, 11, no, right. Nine? No.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Nine.
Go with that feeling. 9 plus 5 is 14. Good job. Now, how many Fortnites is that?
That's just one.
Yes.
I know that.
No, no remainder. You cry when you're doing Division, and there's a remainder left over. What? Oh, the internet's down. Probably not by the time you guys hear this. But
hopefully not. What if it was weird. Down until 1 in the morning? We would be screwed.
No. Way earlier than that, I'd be going to other people's houses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true. Trish has her phone, so.
Oh, okay.
What's weird is just for a second, I felt like this means we're off the air, so this part's not getting recorded. But it totally is. So enjoy this behind-the-scenes moment, people. Which is hilarious, because it implies that there are scenes that we sometimes get in front of. No. It's all behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing. We should draw a thing.
Okay.
Seriously, 3 movies with that same plot. Weird. Oh, there was another thing.
Okay.
I discovered a new TV show. I actually discovered it a while ago, but I didn't think I would see it here.
Okay.
But it turns out it's on Netflix, so everyone should go look at it. It's called Danger 5. It is, I guess I would call it an action comedy, mostly comedy.
Okay.
It's Australian made, and I had heard about it in an article because in the show they drink a lot, and so they did a cracked article where they made all the fictitious cocktails from the show.
Yeah.
But here's basically how it's a current show. Like, I don't know if it's still running, but it's been made within the last year or two. So it's very recently made show.
Okay.
Has 1 season. It's on Netflix. It is made and looks like it's done in like the 60s or 70s. It totally has that vibe just in terms of production. But it's set in World War II and it's this group of 5 elite agents that try and battle Hitler all the time. And in fact, their boss, every time he gives them a mission briefing, ends with, "And, as always, kill Hitler." Speaking of which, their boss, eagle's head. Like, his head is an eagle's head.
Mm.
And in the episode, I saw 2 people died, and their final words in both cases were a recipe for a cocktail. A guy once convinces someone who's holding him hostage with a gun to open up a safe using a combination that sounds really fake, but it does open, and inside is the guy who was being held at gunpoint, except now he's got a gun. At one point, somebody actually loads their gun with their pistol with a half-smoked cigarette and shoots it at a partner's face, and it just ends up like the cigarette then hangs out of their mouth. Like, it's the weirdest damn thing. It's hilarious. And it's all old-school special effects, all the external things are miniatures, and they, like, blow them up and things like that. And that's the thing. It's picture. You remember Thunderbirds?
Mm-hmm.
The marionette thing? In Super Marionation. It's that show, but a little less sci-fi. Not serious, because that show was kind of...
Trying to be like, serious, yeah, anyway.
And live people instead of puppets. But it looks like it otherwise. Like all the external shots look like the sets from Thunderbirds. One of the characters is Russian, and she only speaks Russian, but everybody can just understand her. Like, she's fucking Chewbacca or something. And they get captions for us and stuff like that. Hitler's in, I think, every episode. Who's definitely in this one. They actually fought Hitler. They were not successful in killing him, but these kind of things come up. This one's all about, actually, the Nazis stealing a bunch of monuments around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with them stealing the Eiffel Tower. And, like, 4 or 5 times in it, the French people are so depressed that some of them just shoot themselves in the head because the Eiffel Tower is lost.
Mm.
They're that sad about it.
And that French about it.
And that French about it, yeah. So it's very... it cracks me up. But it's, as with things like Archer, I would say watch an episode and you'll just know right away. You'll be like, this is hilarious. Or you'll be like, yeah, this is not my kind of thing. I feel like it's a show that like is very straightforward with what it's going for.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought it was called Danger 5, and I thought it was hilarious. I'm going to watch the rest of it, I think. Because there are only like 6 episodes or something. We've talked about Into the Badlands. I will say, we've now watched the 2nd episode.
Mm.
Still love it. Still going to keep watching it. But I say love it. I think I somehow in that episode switched from just watching it to hate watching it.
Mm.
I think I'm now watching it because it's so ridiculous. Because the second episode managed to top itself. It's just over the top, stupid, but hilariously so. So I'm going to keep watching it, but now I'm watching it because it's so bad.
Okay.
All right, so you drew something like 8 years ago.
Yes, I did. What's it say? What was the last movie you saw that you enjoyed, but don't feel the need to ever see again?
None of the 12 I saw count because I didn't enjoy them.
That's almost every movie I've ever seen. If I like it, just because I like it doesn't mean I'm going to go buy it or ever watch it again.
Here's the thing. So there's a movie. Let's say Princess Bride. We like Princess Bride, right? You like Princess Bride?
Yep.
So you saw it. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're over at somebody's house. They're like, hey, let's watch The Princess Bride. Like, unless you've got a reason, you're going to be like, no,
that's
let's
true.
Not do that.
That's right.
But, like, for me, for example, Schindler's List, watched it, amazing movie, really moving to me. If somebody was like, let's watch Schindler's List, I'm like, no, I'm never watching that movie again.
Yeah, I can.
Schindler's List, the big ones for me are Schindler's List and Crash. I adored Crash, and I never want to see Crash again. Not the one where James Spader fucks people watching car accidents.
Not that one.
Not that one. There is a movie called Crash in which James Spader fucks people because they get turned on by car accidents.
Mm.
This is not that one. This is the one about race relations in L.A. I might have won Best Picture for the year. It was definitely nominated. And eventually had a TV series, which I'm like, I don't even know how you turn that into a TV series.
Okay, what was the last movie you saw like that?
Maybe Crash. That's the thing. I don't. Well, actually, Pacific Rim was definitely like that.
That's the last one, though?
Possibly. It doesn't come up a lot.
For me, maybe Age of Ultron. It's hard to say that I enjoyed it, but I guess I did, but I don't ever care to see it again.
But that's the thing. If we're just saying ones that I saw and liked and don't plan on seeing again, that's most movies, like you said.
But don't feel you need to ever see again.
No. Okay. To me, that's a less interesting question. To me, that one is, I enjoyed it. I very deliberately don't ever want to see it again.
Okay.
Because that question, again, like you said, is most movies. Like, unless a movie's really awesome, I'll be like, yeah, fine, whatever. Pacific Rim is one of the few exceptions, because I don't think Pacific Rim is a good movie, but I loved watching it for very specific niche reasons having to do with my childhood. It was really fun to watch real-life Voltron, essentially, but it wasn't a good movie, so I did it. I saw it in 3D, for crying out loud.
Godzilla's kind of like that for me. I liked watching it.
Did
I enjoyed
you?
It, sure, but...
But that's
if someone says, "Hey, you want to watch Godzilla?" I wouldn't say, "Yeah, let's watch that." I just, I saw it. It's okay.
But that one's sort of the exception. Almost always, the kind of thing we're talking about is I saw the movie. It was very powerful and meaningful to me, but it was so tough to watch.
It's not an emotional roller coaster. I ever
feel like I'm going to get anything out of it again.
Yeah.
And even that's rare because far too often those ones I just don't like. Like Requiem for a Dream, just fucking hated that movie.
Yeah.
But then there are some that, I really liked it. I think it's a great movie. I would recommend it to others, as long as they're prepped. But I really don't want to see it again.
I think the very last one I watched that might be this way is Inside Out. Just saw it,
the
2 days ago. Yeah.
I'm wondering, because I haven't seen it, but I get bits and pieces. And everybody likes it, but I'm like, I feel like some of that stuff is going to traumatize me.
I don't know if I can say I liked it.
Well, that makes it
I can say I enjoyed it, I suppose, but it's to me Pixar's turned a corner, and this is not like an old Pixar movie. It's a Disney movie. It's a good Disney movie, but it didn't feel like a Pixar movie.
So is that what happened? Do you think they just got too Disney-fied?
I don't know. And
well, what's the what makes this one not feel like? In what way does this not feel like older Pixar movies?
Well. Pixar movies, there were, basically two kinds that I recall. You'd have one kind, you think you know what it's going to be about. They end up telling a story that's quite different, but better than you could have possibly imagined.
All right.
Toy Story is like that to me.
And then there's all the ones that have Larry the Cable Guy doing a voice.
No, Toy Story is like that to me. It's toys coming to life. You think you know exactly what that's going to be about. And there is some of that in there, but there's all kinds of other stuff going on too, very complex, really interesting things that you could never have thought of yourself, and it's brilliant. The other kind of Pixar movie is where they're going to do something and you can't even conceive of how that would be any good, and then it is.
Yeah.
Monsters, Inc. a little bit's like that. I kind of like Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite, but...
The funny thing is I'm sitting here going, I feel like Up falls into both of those categories, actually.
Up probably falls into both categories. But then you have... So, in other words, Pixar movies are surprising. Sometimes they're surprising because you have no idea... Oh, Ratatouille, that's an excellent example of how could that be a thing, and yet it was brilliant. To me,
I thought it was actually brilliant. Ratatouille might fall into this exact category for the sole reason that while we were at the theater watching it, one of our cats died. Like we saw him before the movie and we saw him right after the movie dead. In my mind, I'm not super fond of Ratatouille, but I think I liked it at the time.
But this movie was not surprising at all in any way, shape, or form. It was exactly what you would expect a Disney movie to be, which isn't an entirely bad thing, but it's not. I mean, Pixar is like a whole other level, right? You go to a Pixar movie and an animated feature, and you just expect it. You'd expect the unexpected, I guess.
Yeah.
But this was very straight up, very conventional. Nothing really surprising or interesting. And they played the gender binary card heavy. And I mean, I felt like. Is this a Disney movie from the 50s? Right, we're watching right here because of what they were doing. And it wasn't, I wouldn't say it offended me or anything, but it was like, really?
You can do better,
Pixar especially. Yeah. I mean, after Brave and all this other stuff.
And I'm getting vibes just from, because, I mean, I haven't seen it. I haven't read up on it, but I live in society. So I've learned a lot about that movie because it's hard to avoid.
Let me put it this way. The gender binary card they played made me think any minute now there's going to be a mother-in-law joke. I just know. That's kind of what it felt like.
Just in general, I feel like some of the internal mythology is going to be very problematic and disturbing to me, in fact. I think I'm going to find a lot of things problematic because this is supposed to be the inner workings of a young girl's mind. I feel like there's going to be stuff that's just going to feel weird.
11
Remember,
or 12.
You're supposed to be in the head of a tween girl.
Yeah, 11 or 12, yeah. I think it's 11 mostly, and then 12, I think.
I feel like Lewis Black in any form should not be inside the mind of a tween girl.
Well, but. I mean...
And I think you would agree.
There's a problematic aspect right off the bat that's not a spoiler because it's in all of the things. So this 11 and 12-year-old girl, you know, that's her age range there. Her anger for her is a male, grumpy old man voice.
Black. Yeah.
What? Why isn't it a female voice? Yeah, why isn't it a female girl's voice for that matter? So, you know, and fear is also a male voice. Why did they pick that? And why are the other voices female? Why is Joy female? Why is... Because that cool name, and you don't want to call a guy Joy. And it seems... Okay, you're kind of being nitpicky there a little bit, Wayne, but there are other things in the film they do that show they're making some deliberate choices here, and they just have no problem making everything fit into traditional gender roles. And it felt strange. It felt like... Why are you telling a story that would fit better in a Disney cartoon back in 1960?
I think it feels... I mean, it's felt weird to me ever since I saw the first trailer for it. I think... I feel like... no movie company, certainly not Disney, even Pixar, should be telling us what's going on in that... because I think they're wrong.
Yeah.
Whatever they say, they're going to be wrong. And the closest... version I can do is Osmosis Jones. There was similar shit going on. We were in his head. However, that was very much about his body, not about his mind much. And our host in that case, like the person, was Bill Murray very obviously playing a character. So it didn't bother me. I say this because I actually think Osmosis Jones is a pretty cool movie. I thought it was very clever.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. It held its continuity and its mythology in ways that I thought were very amusing. But I'm just like, it just bugged the idea of like Disney telling me what the inside of a tween girl's head looks like. I'm like,
well,
it just makes me feel icky already.
Well, I think they would know.
Because they're
in the business of.
And that also makes me feel extra icky.
And see, this is...
At some point, I think I'll see it, because a lot of my family has seen it, including my wife, and I think they all liked it, so I might see it.
Well, here's the thing, too. It was the first time I watched a Pixar movie when it felt like most other Disney movies feel like, which is that when they're sitting around the table planning the movie, marketing is there.
Oh, yeah.
With their input and asking their questions. It felt like that kind of movie.
Yeah.
And Pixar movies have never felt that way, and probably rightly so. Except for
the Cars.
Look at Toy Story. Okay, here's a movie that was released around the holiday season, and for a long time that Toy Story was released, even several years out, even when they were releasing a video or whatever, you couldn't find Toy Story toys. The one movie
that
should have marketed toys and had this huge marketing thing with toys to kids, and there was hardly anything. Why? Well, because obviously, the people working on this film were making a film. They weren't making a commercial
Pixar
for toys.
Was still a small
That's true, but
company.
But they
were only tangential to Disney in the early days.
And they did better later, but for the most part, I mean, when Monsters, Inc. came out, when Bugs Life came out, there was more stuff and there was more marketing, but it wasn't anything like you see for Star Wars or any of the Disney stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because the company they're telling stories, and the toys and the marketing is sort of secondary to that. But this movie didn't feel like that to me. This movie felt like they had a very much in mind what they were going to market, who they wanted to see this movie, who they wanted to respond to it, and what they wanted to do after they left the theater, which store they wanted to go to, and what toy they wanted to buy.
Yeah.
It just felt that way to me.
And I think it was fairly successful in all of those things, so that kind of sucks.
But it wasn't a bad movie.
Did we talk about The Book of Life when I saw The Book of Life?
I don't know.
The Book of Life, animated movie that Guillermo del Toro did, basically, because he couldn't get an animation house to do it, so he's like, fuck it, I'm Guillermo del Toro, I'll do it. Which was hilarious, because I didn't know that going into it, and I saw his name in the credits, and I'm like, I bet Ron Perlman will be in here. And sure enough, couple minutes later, there's a voice, I'm like, there's Ron Perlman! Have you heard of this movie?
I'm trying to remember if I saw it.
It is gorgeous. The animation style, I loved. The story's a mess. It's Mexican folk, like, that's part of the joke, it's a story within a story, and the story within the story starts about how it takes place at the center of the universe, which of course is Mexico, and it goes from there. But it also has weird, in my opinion, stereotypes based around Mexico and Mexicans, especially Mexican men.
Maybe I haven't seen it.
And there's a lot of weird sexist stuff going on. And it's that weird sort of Joss Whedon-y where it's subverting a lot of sexism while at the same time being really sexist in different ways. Because, I mean, it's a big thing that our female heroine is not a damsel in distress in the same way, except the times when she is. And then, and also there's lots of chunks of the movie where she's just not involved, and, you know, even though it's about her in places like that. So, the story is awful, but the music's kind of fun. They did a thing which normally annoys me. They took like popular current songs and redid them. So like there's a mariachi version of Radiohead's "Creep" in it. That's kind of fascinating.
No, I'm sure
it,
I haven't
it just
seen. This.
Looked gorgeous, but the story's awful. So I don't know. I think I recommend it for the visuals, but it was good. I thought I talked about that. I don't know.
I
enjoyed watching it. I don't know that I'll see it again, but I don't think it falls under that larger category. But we're about out of time anyway, so... excuse me. Aftershock.
I hope there aren't more.
You never know.
How come your food's not here yet?
I don't know.
Maybe the cosmos
is
being kind.
When they estimated,
maybe
when I told them.
Maybe the cosmos is being kind to me.
That doesn't sound like the cosmos. I've met the cosmos. Cosmos doesn't pull that shit.
Anyway, if people want to write the hat, what do they do?
Write the hat. Oh, God, I never told people what the show was about.
Yeah, that's...
I hope you figured it out.
That's what was weird at the beginning. I hope you figured it out, people. Something's not right here. We're skipping something.
If you'd like to write the hat, and you really should, because I feel like the hat could be light. So you should write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with comments, notes, questions, things that you want us to pull out of the hat and talk about. Because we'll do it. Go ahead, dare us. We'll do it. We're not scared. Also, go to themagicaltalkinghat.com and talk about this episode. Or go back like 4 episodes and talk with Mark. He's so close to being caught up now. If he could just...
Well, but he skipped a whole bunch in the middle, so to really be caught up, he'd have to go back and listen to them too.
I feel like his hard hat is tarnished. But he's sticking with us, so, you know, a lot of people have not, so I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But there are other more loyal ones. Also, if any of you know where the fuck Blood Sparrow is, just let us know.
Yeah, that'd be nice to know.
Also, like us on Facebook, because really, what else have you got going on?
And you're probably already on Facebook doing stuff.
There we go.
So what's it going on?
And then we will talk to you next week. And then I'm just going to make William sit here until the pizza delivery guy shows up.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.